What appears to be a harmless glance can turn to romance. Homes are divided, feelings that should never happen awaken within, tearing the heart into. Listen, I beg of you, guard your heart, guard your heart. Don't trade it for treasure, don't give it away. Guard your heart, guard your heart. As payment for pleasure, it's a high price to pay. For the soul that remains sincere, with a conscience clear, guard your heart. The human heart is easily swayed and often betrayed by the hand of emotion. We dare not leave the outcome to chance. We must choose in events or live with the agony. Such needless tragedy. Guard your heart, guard your heart. Don't trade it for treasure, don't give it away. Guard your heart, guard your heart. As payment for pleasure, it's a high price to pay. A soul that remains sincere. Guard your heart, guard your heart. Don't trade it for treasure, don't give it away. Guard your heart, guard your heart. As payment for pleasure, it's a high price to pay. For the soul that remains sincere, with a conscience clear, guard your heart.
Thank you. Let's all stand together. Thank you for that, Nick. Daniel chapter number one. Daniel chapter number one. By the way, great to have the Snakenbergs back with us, and they'll be back with us for a while, so make sure we go by and we greet them. And let them know that we're glad to have them with us helping out. Daniel chapter 1. We're going to finish our series tonight in the book of Daniel. We've been talking about it for several months now, for about 3 months, how to live right when everything is wrong. And by the way, you can do that. We cannot let society dictate how we live. Okay? Well, you know, the world's changing. I know. It's getting worse and worse. All right? I don't need a memo on that one. We all see that. But when people usually say that, when they say, well, you know, the world's changing, what they're meaning is we should change with it. Now, let me say this. No. Now, we do change in some ways. Years ago, they used to preach without microphones. We have microphones now. Amen? Okay. It used to be, you know, no computers, no all that stuff. That stuff, I get all that. But when it comes to, no, we're not. You don't change with society. Those that change in the times become just like the times, and they miss what Daniel got. And I hope that we've seen that as we've looked at Daniel, as we kind of put a ribbon on the package tonight and we finish it up. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. We'll read a few verses here. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. Of course, this really, as we looked at last week, as we started this, and we'll finish this week with this particular one. That's what we're looking at tonight. We're finishing up Daniel's top 10 principles for living right. We're just kind of wrapping up everything we've learned over the last couple months. We're going to put it in a nice little package for us. This is the key verse. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Look at verse 18. Drop down to 18. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he would bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all manners of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Imagine that. He said, prove us. And then he proved their diet to Melzar there, and the guy that was overseeing him. And then when the time was up and they were brought before King Nebuchadnezzar, and he looked at him, he said, wow, these guys are 10 times better. How did they become like that? That's what we'll look at. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word. I pray you'd help us, Lord, as we kind of finish up our series here on Daniel and we see some principles that will help us to be able to live in the times in which we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We've looked through the book of Daniel. Of course, we've not looked at the prophecies. That was not the purpose of our going through Daniel. But by the way, the book of Daniel it deals much with prophecy, and you could really critics of the Bible don't like the book of Daniel because it's pretty spot on with its prophecies. It prophesies the very day that Jesus Christ would go in to Jerusalem before he would be crucified. That's in this Daniel's 70 weeks. It talks about coming rulers and nations and kingdoms. And if you read some of the, it's in symbolic language, but very clear symbolic language, talking about the world leaders and the world systems that would come. And it told you not just the kingdoms that would come, some of the situations that arose. And it was written before they came. It's a very good book with that. But it also is a very good book to teach us how to live. As we mentioned, Daniel, like we do, we live in an alien culture like Daniel did, with people whose thinking, actions, values, goals are totally different from that which God has for us. Just totally different. So how do we make it? So we looked at it last week. We talked about two things out of the 10 we're going to give you. We saw the power of purpose. And that was in chapter 1 there. And then we looked at, again in the same chapter, the power of compassion. That although Daniel had a purpose ahead of time that he would live right, he still had compassion towards those who did not know the Lord that maybe would push some of these things on him. Now, let's pick it up from there. I want you to see also, and leave your Bibles open, we'll look at a couple verses from all the chapters. I want you to see the power of faith. The power of faith. In Daniel chapter 2, if you'll flip there, we'll read verses 16 to 19. Daniel chapter 2, verse 16 to 19 says, this is a story of Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. He tells his guys, he tells his wise men, hey, I need you to tell me the dream and then give me the interpretation. They're like, well, tell us the dream. He goes, no, you tell me the dream and the interpretation. And he's like, well, who does that? We can't figure it out. And so he says, fine. And this was Nebuchadnezzar. You're all going to die. We'll just move on. And so Daniel finds out and says, listen, I'll tell you the dream. And then after Daniel tells him that, verse 19, or actually that's where we pick up in verse 16, then Daniel went in to desire to the king that he would give him time and that he would show him, the king, the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret. Then Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. I like Daniel. He says, listen, give me a little bit of time, and I'll tell you what the vision was. And the king says, fine. He goes back and says, fellas, we got to pray and find out what the vision is from God. He had faith. That takes faith to say, I'll just believe that God's going to help me with this thing. And then he goes back and says, all right, fellas, we better pray and see if God's going to do this thing. Faith. And then I won't read the verses, but in chapter 4, he sees another vision of Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel comes in again, and he gives the interpretation. And the vision has to do with the phrase that Daniel mentions to King Nebuchadnezzar, that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Now, for Daniel to say that in faith and understand that and be okay with it, he had to understand that the fact that God had placed him in this kingdom under someone who was godless. But he still had faith that even though the situation was not ideal, God was still on the throne and God was still in control of things. We see Daniel's whole life is about faith. In chapter 2, he had the faith to receive the vision when he didn't know what it was. And then in chapter 4, he had faith in what the vision was about when really it was not to his liking or not what was best for him. But Daniel lived his whole life by faith. What is faith? By the way, people say, you know, I don't do anything for God, but I just have faith. I don't go to church. I don't read my Bible. I just have faith. Can I just tell you something? No, they don't. Because faith is related to God, and it's trusting in what God is doing, what God says he's going to do, and what God is doing around us. Faith. Daniel needed faith to make it through the situations that he was going to face. And by the way, we need faith. There'll be things that will come up in your life you may not like or you may not understand, but you need to have faith to say, God is in control. Say the things that are going on in this world, it's like, Lord, why are you allowing all this? To say, you know what? God's in control. By the way, you know, one of the most, we had a Tuesday night soul winning on the night of the elections in 2008. That was a rough night. Okay, when Obama was elected. By the way, you know, Brother Pineda, the 8 years have proved that we were right. But you know what? It doesn't matter what world leader we have or what president we get, things aren't going to be good ever. Aren't going to be optimal for us. And what we need to understand by faith is this world is not our home. Yes, we need to vote. Yes, we need to do the best we can do. Yes, we need to be good citizens. But let's not put our hope in that. Because God is in control of everything. Every situation of our life, God is in control. And it takes faith. And if we have faith, we'll live our lives according to God's precepts, not according to our feelings or not according to what we think is going on. I'm glad Daniel and his companions had faith because it was tested on many occasions. And they had faith in God and faith in what he was doing. I want you to see next, turn to Daniel chapter 3. I want you to see the power of their convictions. The power of their convictions. Chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, Then they spake and said unto the king, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, and all those different things, we won't read all that. Verse 11. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee, nor do they serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We saw how that King Nebuchadnezzar, after he got the vision that said, you know, there's the head of gold and the arms and the legs and all the different metals, you know, the silver and the iron and all that, and there was all these different ruling kingdoms. Several years later, Nebuchadnezzar just decided, you know what, I'm not for that. I'm going to make me one, and it's all gold. Basically, my kingdom's going to last forever. And then he made a decree that when the music plays, everybody's going to worship this image. And he got everybody together, and it included all of his big wigs and all of his leaders that were around there. And the music played, and thousands of people bowed down, and there's three Jews just standing there. They stood out, by the way. And they were like, we're not going to do it. And then Nebuchadnezzar brings them in and says, and he was upset, and he goes, fellas, maybe there was a mistake here. Maybe you didn't hear so well, but I'll tell you what. We're going to play the music one more time, and perchance you didn't hear, I'll give you one more chance to bow down. Now, I like these guys. Not only did they have conviction, I would have liked to have just stood there. Like, everybody's bowing down. I ain't bowing down. Now, I wouldn't have liked the second part, okay? He said, listen, bow down. And they're like, you know what, king? We're not even going to be careful how we answer you. Our God can deliver us from the fire. But even if he doesn't, we ain't bowing down. I like that. Now, I don't think they said it with a huffy spirit, but I like the way they stood up to him. They're like, no, we're not doing it. That is, well, you know what they're saying? That's a false god. By the way, Nebuchadnezzar knew it was a false god. He set it up himself. But he's like, we're not doing it. No. That's conviction. Conviction. By the way, their conviction put their life on the line. I think we ought to have some convictions in our life. Convictions are beliefs that we have from Scripture. And those beliefs dictate our actions. And they're not up for debate. I'll just be honest with you. Not that I haven't been honest with you already, but that's just a phrase. I don't know, you know, I'll just throw it out there for you. I'm going to be honest with you still. How about that? Most Christians don't have convictions. We do what we do if it's convenient. We don't have convictions. We do things that are right sometimes, but then sometimes we may not do it, and it all is a matter of we just don't have convictions. You know, it's 2 weeks away, but I'll go ahead and say it right now, Brother Bichara. We might as well start prepping for it. Just because there's a football game on Sunday night doesn't mean we don't come to church. You say, amen, amen. All season long, there's a football game, amen. What about Super Bowl Sunday? Whoa, 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 preacher, hold on a second here. It's just one time a year. It's not a sin. Let me say this. Let's say it's not a sin. But do you want to live with this thing like church? You want your family to see church is important every single time we have it, except for one time a year when the Super Bowl's on. You know what that is saying? There's one thing. It's really quiet. Thank you. There's one thing on the calendar that's more important than church. Thanks for coming. I'm so glad you're here. I'm not getting on you because you're here tonight and you'll probably be here. You know what's going to be a real struggle, Brother Pineda? What happens if the Rams make it to the Super Bowl? Wow. Well, what are you going to do? I'll tell you what. I'll go ahead and throw it here. We won't tell you the score, and you can record it and watch it when you get home. You don't have to watch all the stupid commercials. You don't have to do any of that. We won't tell you the score. But see, why some people do that is because church isn't really a conviction. That's why you'll miss for other things too, okay? You'll miss because, you just decide, I'd rather do this today. You know, why I come to church? It's a conviction. You know why I give? Because it's a conviction. Oh, you know, I looked at the budget this week and we're doing okay. I think I'll give. That's fine. If you're a new Christian, okay. But it's a conviction. God wants me to give. And he wants me to give a certain amount. And I give that amount and more. Why? I just decided that a long time ago. What happens if things get tight? I can tell you this. Things have got tight before. And I still give. Why? Because it's not some little a convenience thing. It's a conviction. And I don't want to lose you. Why do I read my Bible? Because it's a conviction. It's not just something I think is a good idea. I know God wants me in his word. And if I read it correctly, he wants me in it every single day. So you know what I do? I read it every single day. It's a conviction. I'm just saying this. Let's have some convictions in our life. Because when it's a conviction, nobody's going to pry it out of you. They're not going to take it away from you. Oh, you know, that my family's getting on it. Listen, be kind and loving to them. And I know, when we moved away, we got married when we were in college, and we moved back to California. My family was here. It's like, hey, you know, we're going to have a birthday party for whoever. Great, we'll come. You know, I'm all for the nieces and the nephews. Okay, hey, it's going to be on Sunday morning. Won't be there. Well, it's just, they only have one birthday. I know they all have birthdays. In my family now, we have 15 birthdays. Okay, and it's going to get worse. And that's just my wife and I and I are there. But it's got to be, and by the way, my family caught on and said, no, we're going to have it at a different time now. Okay, we'll come. I'm not against birthday cake. I kind of like birthday cake. Okay, I'm not against piñatas. There's church. So let's have some convictions in our life. But if we can't nail down the little things, we won't nail down the big things. You know, there's certain things you work with someone and they're going to offer you something or a temptation to do something. It's like, sorry about that, but no. Now you don't need to jump up on the table and say, it's evil, you're of the devil. Just say no. And then if they push, I'm a Christian, I don't do that. Oh, but come on, 20th century, I'm a Christian too. Good for you. You got a different kind of Christianity. Well, let's have some convictions. See, we have something in our society now, and I'm going to really struggle to get to 10, but I'm going to do it tonight, Brother Ross, because I got something new next week I want to get into. But we have something now. It's called accommodating theology. We want to accommodate our beliefs to fit our lifestyle. No, that's not how the Bible works. We're supposed to have accommodating lifestyles. We accommodate our lifestyle to what the Bible says. We don't try to accommodate the Bible to what our life says. I mentioned many months ago, I think it was on Thursday night, in Colorado now, they have a pot smokers Bible study. Yeah. You can come smoke pot and study the Bible. Would you say amen? Oh, I was going to say. That explains the music. Okay, I'm just going to go on a limb here. I can't see Jesus doing that. They have gay Bible studies. Well, they ought to start Romans chapter 1. We have they have cowboy church. Yeehaw. I mean, listen, we take everything we want and we try to form God's word or what we're doing to what we want to do. Last time I saw, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word of God gets in my mind and it changes me. I don't look at the Bible and say, what can I do, and try to squeeze it into the Bible. It doesn't work that way. That's what conviction will do for us. Here's how simple it is. You ready? If God says it, do it. God says don't do it, don't do it. So that's complicated. Let me say it again, okay, so you get this. God says do it, do it. If God says don't do it, don't do it. And make a decision ahead of time. That's a conviction. All right, now that we got over that. Next, the power of courage. I talked a little bit about this. Courage. That's again in chapter 3. We'll read that, verse 16. I'll read it because I really like these guys. Meshach and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now listen, you got to understand Nebuchadnezzar, as we explained. All the power, probably the most powerful world dictator that ever lived, except for when the Antichrist comes. And a short fuse, okay? His solution was, if you didn't do what he wanted and he got frustrated, you died. And someone took your place. And that's just how he was. And they said, listen, we're not careful to answer thee. Verse 17, if it be so, our God, whom we are able to serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Amen? It says, man, God can deliver us from the fire you're about to throw us into. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. He says, but even, what he's saying is, but even if he doesn't and we burn up, we're still out of your hand, because this has nothing to do with you. Verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That was his way of saying, no way, Jose, ain't happening. That's how it ought to be, okay? I'm not pushing off Mike. See, we think sometimes we're going to reach people or help people by backing off of what we believe. Can I just tell you something? That doesn't work. See, the way the world works is they try to push us back off what we believe, and once you take a step back, they're like, why don't you take two? Because once a person starts backpedaling, you ever see a tug of war? It's usually really, really close until someone loses their balance. And once they lose their balance, it goes really fast. They're pushing us back and they're just going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing. Let's just draw a line in the sand. The line that God has drawn, and just say, listen, we don't need to be mean-spirited, but it's like, this is what God said. This is what I'm not pushed off of that. And these guys had the courage to put this into action. Courage is acting on your convictions in spite of the negative consequences. Read the book of Acts. They faced all kinds of consequences for their actions, and yet they stood up and said, we don't look at the consequences, we look at what is right. We don't base our action off of the consequences. Boy, if you read the news, and I hope you don't, but if you do, Christians all over the place are backing off of what we believe. Why? Because we're afraid of we might be labeled a bigot. We're not bigots. We might be labeled hate mongers. We don't hate anybody. That's the farthest thing from our mind. That's just stuff they're saying. But I don't want people to think of me like that. Okay, then here's what you do. Have convictions and don't hate anybody. But they said I do. You don't. It's look, don't let them put courage. Standing up for what's right. It's acting on your convictions in spite of your feelings. Well, they're called Christians' names. You know what they're doing in some of the other countries of people that say they're Christians? They're killing them. And you think you have a problem? I think our problem is pretty small. Well, the guys at work, you know, they make fun of me as a Christian, and I'm just tired of them saying things about me because I'm a Christian. Oh, my heart bleeds for you. Come on. By the way, you're never going to help any of those people because you've got nothing to give them if you are inconsistent. Let's be courageous. Think of the prophets of the Old Testament, what they faced and what they stood up to. And I would say courage is even stronger when you have negative feelings about what you're supposed to do. I think of Gideon, man. Here's Gideon. He's hiding. He's threshing the wheat and hiding because the Midianites are oppressing them. He's doing it at night so no one will see him. And then the angel comes and says, "You're a mighty man of valor." He goes, "You talking to me? Do you see what I'm doing? I'm doing this at night." And then he's like, "You get an army." He got 32,000 people. He got 32,000 people. Now, there was hundreds of thousands of the enemy. He got 32,000. God says, "That's too many." I was like, "Too many?" So he sends home 22,000. Now you got 10. And he's probably thinking, "How in the world am I going to win this battle with 10? And God says, "It's too many." Too many? He got 300. And his emotions, and God helped him with that, but he still went forward with what he was supposed to do. See, courage doesn't mean there's not a little bit of apprehension or fear. I'm sure Shadrach and the two guys weren't saying, "Man, that fire looks like that would be fun." But you know what? They still had courage to do what was right. Let's be courageous for what we believe. Number six, the power of sensitivity. Now, you know, I don't like the word, but it's something we're supposed to be as Christians, okay? I don't know, it just kind of sounds like not masculine. How many of you are with me on that one? But can I just say, we are supposed to be sensitive, okay? That doesn't mean every guy here has to go buy a cat, okay? I'm not talking about that. You know, we'll get over it. We had a squirrel in our backyard. I think he fell out of the tree and he died. The kids were chasing him around. I think the internal bleeding got to him. It's like, "Oh, let's bury him." Like, throw him in the garbage can. It's a squirrel, okay? You know, it's not what we do. But sensitive. How should we be sensitive? Daniel chapter 4, verse 27. Daniel tells King Nebuchadnezzar his dream. Now, Daniel had come to like Nebuchadnezzar, brought him into a close relationship, even though the king was a little bit off the wall. But he's starting to get closer to maybe getting saved, becoming a Christian, believing in Daniel's God. And Daniel got the dream. The dream is, "Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to live like a wild animal for 7 years. Daniel could have thought, finally, he's getting his, right? That's the message I want to deliver. This guy has been all over it. He pulled our people out of our homeland. He's getting 7 years. I can't wait to give him that message. Well, look what he says. Verse 27 of Daniel 4. "Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it be a lengthening of thy tranquility." Even though he delivered a negative message, he tried to give him a positive path to follow so he wouldn't suffer the consequences. You know, our goal isn't, and again, we believe the Bible. I've been talking about courage and all the convictions and all that. But we shouldn't be happy when people are messed up because of what they're involved with. Now, we got to get up and say the truth. I get that. But, you know, if all we ever do is tell the negative and there's no positive to it, who are we helping? The Bible has the answers to all of this. And he said, "Listen, king, this isn't good for you. It's actually your enemies are the ones that are going to be happy. But let me tell you what you ought to do. Here's a game plan to get out of it." He was sensitive and he wanted him to be helped. And by the way, I believe, and most people believe, that Nebuchadnezzar came to know the true God. Because of Daniel's courageous testimony over the years, King Nebuchadnezzar came to know the Lord. That's sensitivity. He told him the truth. He didn't back off of it. None of their guys backed off of it. They told him basically when he was wrong, like, "We ain't serving your God." But he was sensitive and said, "Listen, this is what you ought to do. Break off your sins. Live right. Maybe God will spare you for a while." Sensitivity. It's okay for us to diagnose the problem, but you know what? We need to offer a solution. Right? How would you like to do a doctor and says, "Well, you got a little illness, but, you know, eventually you're going to die. I don't know, maybe a year, 20, 30. I don't know, you're going to die. Well, I'll tell you what's wrong." It's like, "Can you give me a solution?" You know, you don't go to a doctor. You go to a doctor for two things. Number one, to find out what's wrong. And then number two, so he can help you get it right. Are you with me? They don't glory like, "Good news." What? Your heart's about to give out. Yeah, you're in bad shape, buddy. See you later. Pay the bill on the way out. It's like, no, listen, you got a heart issue. You need to get this thing fixed. Here's what you got to do. Let's give people the answer. If we point out the sin, shouldn't we point to the Savior? I heard a story that years ago in Chicago, there used to be a bar. It was called, of all things, the bar was called the Gates of Hell. And it was on the same block as a Calvary church. And so one time a guy was looking for the bar and he asked a bystander, he goes, hey, where's the Gates of Hell? And the guy says, oh, you can get there easily. Just go past Calvary. Isn't that how people get to hell? They go right past Christ. Hey, listen, if someone's going to go to hell, they better go past us to get there. We ought to tell them the solution. Okay, let's not always be so negative. The Christian life, yes, there's a lot of things we need. We need to be solid on, but you know what? There's a lot of positive answers to what's going on in this life. Let's be sensitive to people's needs and do what we can to help them to get over what's going on. I want you to also see, next, the power of holiness. Daniel chapter 5 and verse 17. Daniel 5 verse 17. Daniel comes into King Belteshazzar. And he's having this wicked party, and Daniel is having nothing to do with this. In fact, this is one of the few times Daniel's pretty curt. Not a lot of answers here. Because I think when he got the vision from God, he saw that his time was over. He was done. He was that bad. And Daniel didn't want to have anything to do with it. He offers Daniel the writing on the wall, the handwriting on the wall, and he says, listen, I'll give all these gifts and I'll do all this stuff for you if you'll tell me what's going on. Verse 17, then Daniel answered it and said before the king, let thy gifts to be another and give thy reward to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known unto him the interpretation. I think this is one point where Daniel said, you know, keep all, I don't have anything to do with that. And Daniel just gave him what was going to happen. And by the way, it was pretty quick. As Daniel's given him the interpretation of the dream, which is the kingdom's over and you're done, you're going to die tonight. The Persian Median army was outside the wall and they were just about ready to come in. Daniel knew God was done with him. Why? He was sacrilegious. He had a wicked party going on. He was spitting in the face of God, and Daniel didn't want to have anything to do with him or his gifts. That's because Daniel was a righteous man. That's a very easy one. It's listen, God wants us to be holy. What is holiness? Living by God's standards. We have come to a time in our lives where Christianity wants to use the culture to reach the world. How many ever heard, you know what? We got to use culture to reach people. The church does it all the time. And they use an obscure verse in the book of Acts to prove it. They say that Paul quoted one of their poets. He quoted one line, and they said, see, Paul knew the culture, and he was immersed in the culture, and he knew the culture, and he used it to reach them. He quoted a poet. That's it. Well, you know, missionaries go to a country, and they use a culture to reach people. Really? Is that what they do? No, when a missionary goes to a country, he learns the culture, so he learns how the people react, how they live, what kind of food they like, what offends them. We might use a phrase in our language which doesn't mean much. We might use it in a way to them that's offensive. It doesn't mean they go over there and see what they do and they do the exact same rotten, sinful things they do. We're not supposed to look at any evil that our society is involved with. Look, a big thing a lot of churches do, they'll have a summer preaching series on the big movies of the summer. So if the movie this year is Godzilla 12, and by the way, I can tell you the end. Godzilla always wins. And then he gets like frozen, and then he wakes up later when they need a sequel. Okay? Pray for Japan. He has ruined many of their cities. And so we're going to talk to you about Godzilla Christianity. No, we're not. You know? Spider-Man Christianity, sticking to the faith. We're not going to do that. You know, Batman Christianity, flying blind. You can go on and on and on. Well, look at, I'll tell you the best place to get a message would probably be from, say, the Bible. Oh, but you know, everybody wants to hear about the movie. Then let them hear about the movie somewhere else. Let's talk about the Bible here. God never said, preach the movie. Preach the word. Yeah, well, but we're trying to bring people in. We have music in our services that's mind-numbing. I was reading a book the other day. And the guy had a chapter, he was talking about contemporary Christian music. And here's what the chapter started. He goes, what if I started this chapter? This is the exact quote. What if I started out this chapter like most contemporary praise songs? It was the same sentence like 20 times. The whole first page was the same sentence. There's no depth to that. That's about as deep as a rain puddle. The books, the songs we sing in this book were songs written by men that love God and have a little bit of stuff to them. It's not just, oh, I love you, Jesus, baby, ooh. By the way, the average contemporary song you could sing to your wife over a candlelight dinner and she'd think you're talking about her. It's getting real quiet here. Thank you. Okay? Ooh, baby, baby, I love. Oh, that's Jesus. I was talking to Jesus, honey, not you. Blow the candle out. No. It's just ridiculous. We're so shallow because we want to be like our culture. Now, if we understand our culture, we understand it so we can combat it, not so we can conform to it. Jesus said, come out from among them, not go in among them. The way we reach people is the way we're going to keep them. And people need something different. Why is there so many? Look, the average Christian church, and it's sad to say the Baptist church is going the same direction. I'll just be real honest with you. We see what the world's doing. We incorporated it in the church about 10 years too late. By the way, do you know the world is better at doing the world than the church is? Yeah, we want to like dim the lights and we're going to have, you know, a theater setting and it's going to be this and that. And you know, look, I'm not going to come out here in a tank top and shorts and flip-flops and say, we're going to talk about God today. By the way, you don't want to see me in a tank top because you guys would never be happy with yourself, okay? Sorry, I don't want to do that to you. You'd be so jealous, it'd be horrific. You know, just call me Steve. Hey, Steve. What's up, Bobby? Come on. Let's have a little respect for God. We're not trying to be cool cats. We're trying to be Christians. Let's take this thing seriously. What is the problem with doing that? When you reach people a certain way, that's the way you got to keep them. If we bring them in with, you know, nonsense, how are you going to keep them in church? Nonsense. I just think they ought to get the Bible. I just think that's what helps people. Maybe I'm a little different there. You can never disobey God to do something good. All right, we better move on. It's getting late. Next, the power of testimony. The power of testimony. In Daniel chapter 5 also, the queen, after Belshazzar has his wicked party and he's freaked out because of the hand on the wall, he doesn't know what to do. Again, his guys, his wise men didn't know what to do, like always in the whole book. And so the old queen comes and says, you know, there's this guy, Daniel. Now they don't understand. She didn't understand the lingo. He has the spirit of the gods in him. He knows how to get a hold of God. I'm glad someone knew that there was Daniel. I'm glad there was one guy they could point to and say, you know what, everything's crazy right now, but there's this one guy for years and years and years, whenever there's been a problem, they brought him in. What's his name? Daniel. Daniel, he'll find the answer for you. He knows God. What a testimony. By the way, we need a good testimony. We need to be right, not for something hypocritical, but you know, understand that we represent Jesus on this earth. I said a couple weeks ago, the greatest advertisement for Christianity is a good Christian. People can't argue with that. But on the flip side, the worst advertisement for Christianity is a bad Christian. What kind of advertisement are we? Let's have the kind of testimony when those same guys at your work or those same ladies at your work that are criticized, they mock you and they say little things and you're a church person, blah. Did you watch the Super Bowl? Oh, that's right, you were at church. Those same ones, let's have the testimony when something happens in their life, the handwriting on the wall in their life, as it were, and they need help, that they're like, you know, I know somebody that knows God. Let me go to them. Let's have that kind of testimony. That's what this world needs. Did not Jesus tell us to be lights? Doesn't light shine brightest in the darkness? They don't need more darkness. They need light. Let's be light. Next, I want you to notice Daniel had the power of character. Look at Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. We're almost done. We mentioned this a few weeks ago, verse 4. says, then the president and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. And you understand what they were doing. They were jealous and they wanted to get him out of the way, these other leaders, because Daniel was the first place. And so they tried to find a way to get him out of the way. So they sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, his work. But it says they could not find occasion nor fault. There was nothing. The guy was spot on. He did everything like he was supposed to. For as much he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. He said, you know, this guy has such a great reputation in his work. There's nothing we can find there. He also has a great reputation as a Christian. In other words, we know that he would never violate one of his beliefs. So let's find one of his beliefs that we can make a law so that when he does his belief, he'll be violating the law, and then we got him. If anybody would ever come up and say, you know, if they made this against the law, that Christian would go to jail. That Christian wouldn't break the law. That Christian would violate the law by doing what he believes. I wonder if someone would say that about us. I wonder if the people know us say, that person is such a Christian. They have so much character. In other words, they always do what they're supposed to do, and we know they're going to do it. That if we made what they were doing against the law, they would still keep doing it. That's powerful. I would hope that I would have that kind of testimony, and I would hope that you would have that kind of testimony. I hope the people in our community that know us as we go out knocking doors and they meet us as we work amongst them and all the things and we're their neighbors, they would say, you know, those people at Pacific Baptist, they believe something. They have something. That's what we want, the power of character. And then the last thing is this. And really, other than the purpose was the key in Daniel's life, but the key to getting things from God is right here, the power of prayer. The power of prayer. And Daniel, as soon as it was made against the law from him to pray, it didn't even faze him. He didn't even miss a beat. He went right back to the prayer closet. Windows wide open, 3 times a day. He didn't even say, you know, I could pray with the windows closed. I could pray in my heart. And God will still hear me and they'll not know what I'm doing. But you know what he said? This is what I do and I'm not changing. Why? Well, first of all, he didn't want to violate his character. Second of all, he believed in prayer. And we see in Daniel, we didn't look at Daniel chapter 9, but Daniel chapter 9, he prayed. And then in Daniel chapter 10, he prayed, and we got a little glimpse into how that works. There's a spiritual warfare going on. And you know what gives us the victory in that spiritual warfare? Is prayer. Prayer. We don't understand that. And as I mentioned a couple weeks, it's not a spooky thing. But there is a spiritual battle going on. And by the way, we are on the most powerful side. And we have given this great weapon to cut through the darkness. And you know what that weapon is? That weapon's prayer. Now let me ask you this. Do you use it? Not this, now I lay me down to sleep. Now I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray my soul the Lord to take. Well, if you're saved, you don't need to pray that. Because if you die in your sleep, you're fine. I'm just talking about that's a weapon. Listen, this church, we're trying to do a lot of things. We want a team in China. I hope you're praying for that. That'll get a team in China more than our finances will, Brother Ross. And by the way, we need your giving to be able to support them, but if you're going to give without prayer, it's probably not going to work very well. We need to get in that building. And I'll just be honest with you. Maybe I shouldn't be. I'm always honest with you, but I'm even being more honest with you right now. It frustrates me we're not in there. I want to be in there. And I know we're at, we're doing what we can. I know that, and I know you've given. It's just, it's where we're at. But I wonder if maybe we pray just a little bit more, we could get in there a little faster. Maybe God would provide you more money to give, me more money to give, provide what we need to get in there. Maybe if we pray just a little bit more. Prayer is a very, very, very important weapon, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. People aren't our problems, aren't our problem. By the way, I think we have a little bit of favor with the city still, even though it's taking a little bit longer than they want us to go. To be honest with you, if they wanted to, and I'm not being a prophet of doom and gloom, they could shut the project down right now. Because, you know, we didn't finish in time, and they knew that. And but they could just say, you know what, if they wanted to be, I don't know, if they just wanted to be mean, they could say, quit working right now. You can't do it because you're not done. But you know what? They're working with us. I think it's because we pray. I think it's because we're praying. And God sees that. But let's keep praying. By the way, you're kind of the cream of the crop. You're coming on Sunday nights. And Sunday mornings, we have so many new people coming to church, and I'm really excited about that. Thank you for inviting them. And by the way, keep inviting people to church everywhere you're at. But you know what? Those people need to grow in their faith and encourage them and strengthen them, but I'll tell you what you ought to do. Pray for them. Pray for them. God, there's these new people, and I just pray you'd help them to experience Christianity and really get attached to Christ. Prayer. Let's make sure we're praying. It's a weapon. What's the point? Daniel was a great man. Probably one of the great, we spent a lot of weeks looking at him. Why? Probably one of the greatest Bible characters. And he lived in a time that just was not good. Boy, you know, there's a song in our songbooks. I don't think we sing it very often because probably the tune's not real good. But it's Dare to be a Daniel, written by Philip Bliss. I would hope as we see how Daniel was that we would put some of these qualities in our life. I would hope when this world looks at us the way that they looked at Daniel, they would see somebody and say, that person knows God. There is something different about that person. Not so that we lift ourselves up, because every time they thought that about Daniel, every time Daniel was put in a position, you know what happened? The person dealing with him came to praise the Lord. Daniel's God is the God. They didn't say, this guy's a great guy. Wow, he must have went to this school and he must be really smart. They said, he's a great guy, but because he serves a great God, his God is the God. I hope they would say that about us. Let's have that kind of witness. Let's all stand together this evening, every head bowed, every eye closed.